Jason Big Joe live today, Vanderbilt Legends Club, Brent Peterson's golf tournament. The first flight on the course right now. A lot of the Predators players and execs will be here this afternoon as they'll be a part of things, obviously, for a great cause. Jason Big Joe, though, reacting to the Titans. 16-15 loss yesterday at the Dome in New Orleans. And to help us with that, a guy that, you know, for a long time, you know, he was suited up on opening day. He got to enjoy it from the couch yesterday. Former Titans punter Brett Kern is with us. A little bit of a different perspective on opening day for you, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it was definitely different. First, time in a really long time, not playing on an opening day. But it was nice to be able to relax with the family, watch the game, kind of take it in, actually feel my extremities throughout the day. Whereas, you know, opening day, the nerves are running pretty good. But it was fun just to watch the game. Obviously wish for a different outcome. But there's some positives and some stuff that they'll definitely work on this week and get ready for the Chargers.
There were a lot of, just weird things that happened in that game, but I'll get your perspective on something that I know you can speak on, and that was the block punt that the Saints had on the Titans and Ryan Stonehouse. Have you had time to kind of look at it from a different angle? It was kind of hard to see on the initial broadcast, but what stood out to you on that play?
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate just because, you know, when you lose the turnover battle, you know, 3-2, in essence, really that block punt is kind of your fourth turnover, right? And so I know for a fact, Coach Aukman and Brable were preaching because really Dan Rizzi, the special teams coordinator in New Orleans, Taysom Hill and some of the other guys that they have, they're really big on A-gap rushes and then that up and under move on the wing. For a rookie, undrafted rookie in the Dome, the left wing and Otis Reese, to get that up and under move by Braun, there's really nothing Stonehouse could have done. It was a clean move. It was a really good move, great block. And unfortunately, it goes out for a one-yard punt, but it gave the Saints, obviously a really good field position. And so that one's tough. Tough learning lesson, all you can do is get back at it and work on how to not get beat on an up and under.
I was talking to a former Titans punter, Brett Kern. Brett, get your thoughts and opinions on the Chase and I were talking about late in that fourth quarter when the Titans kicked the field goal on 4th and 6 from the 11-yard line. Analytics say go for it, but the conservative approach is kick a field goal. What would you have done in that situation? 16-12, 2:15 to go in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see both sides of it, as far as kicking field goal. In that case, why not go for it, right? Your defense is playing lights out. Guys are making plays. It's kind of like taking a deep shot, on one of Ryan's interceptions, right? It's a deep shot. It gets picked, but they get the ball at the 6, right? And so, in essence, it's like when that happened, when I was playing, it was like, could I have gotten a punt down at the 6, right? You obviously don't want the interception, but really it works out the same way. And so, in essence, you go for it there. If you don't get it, they get the ball on the 11, or if you can get some yards, that might be starting inside the 10. And the way the defense is playing, why not, right?
Yeah, I agree. And plus, you'd have 4 timeouts, including the 2-minute warning there. And the Saints, Brent, when they're that backed up, they're not going to probably throw the ball from their own 10-yard line, although – they did from the 30 and converted that long pass to get down the field. I just think, you get the chance to go for it right there. Go for it. And, we could talk all day because we're great armchair quarterbacks. But we that, it was just interesting that it was very quick, very like, get the field goal out there and Brable said, let my defense make the game. And I love that he loves the defense. But the fact is you had an opportunity right there. Maybe it could have turned something. That would have been a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, you could also, from his standpoint, you get him out there quick, you get that field goal in before the 2-minute warning, you still, in essence, have your 4 timeouts, you get the kickoff, your defense plays, and now instead of having to get a touchdown, to win the game, in essence, now, okay, hey, you're down what you're at, and now all we need is a field goal. So, like I said, I understand both sides of it, been in that situation before with Coach and understand why he does it, and I know he'd explain to the team, why he did it. And so, sitting on the game, you're thinking, go for it. But then on the other side of it, it's like, yep, I can understand why they did this, but you know, it is what it is. I think there's probably a lot of things that you could go back on that game and probably wish that you had back. You know, the little flea flicker to Chig and the, that wheel route that Tajay had down the side that he almost, you know, got his feet down in. And so there's little plays here and there. And obviously the no call, the fumble with KB picking it up. You know, my estimation, I think, for the officials, since they blew the whistle and seeing that before, I think it's easier for the officials to cover up their mistake of blowing the whistle by just saying, hey, it was incomplete, right? Because now if you say, hey, look, yeah, that's a fumble, Titans, you know, KB recovered it on the 6-yard line, right? And so hit the ball on the 6. Well, now Braves going to be all in their ear, which is not a fun thing to experience. you know, hey, ball's on the 6 now. Well, wait a second. You shouldn't have blown it dead because he ran it all the way back. He did what he was supposed to do. That's what they do. That's what they practice. And he did exactly what Braves talked about. So really the lesser evil for the officials is just to say, hey, incomplete pass, right? Because now they're not dealing with where the ball's at and the dead ball whistle and should it be a touchdown, should it not? So, you know, plenty of plays you can go back on and wish you can have back. But
former Titans punter Brett Kern is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. So how do you think, and because we, you know, we saw the play with Josh Dobbs last year where they did call that a fumble and it was a very similar situation. Vrabel said it yesterday that, you know, 1 week it's going to be a fumble, 1 week it's going to be an incomplete pass. Is there a way to make that be more consistent, whether you have somebody back in New York that, you know, is in the war room and it's like ultimately, you know, they can overrule the whistle or what have you. How do you fix this or can you?
Well, I do think that if the whistle had not blown, it would have been a touchdown. I think the fact that the whistle blew made the situation a lot more complicated. Also, why don't you do what the Premier League's doing over in England and all the conversations that are had on VAR are now public. The audio is now public, right? And so in this case, well, what is Ron in New York? What are they talking about, right? Because who knows? I mean, Ron could be saying, hey, man, the whistle blew dead. this is incomplete, right? Because now what do? Right? And New York might be agreeing with them. You know, you don't know. We don't know those conversations that are being had, right? And so, I mean, I think those two situations, you know, if the whistle wasn't blown dead, it's a different story, different outcome, I believe. And then make those audio conversations public.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern. Mike, could you imagine, you know, Brett, they would never do that. I love it. I would love to hear that. Could you imagine if that happened?
It's like they won't let the refs talk either.
What, so. Over the years of playing, there's so many times where I try to get so close to the replay and all that kind of stuff just to hear what they're saying. But it's just like, I mean, they're talking like mice. You can't hear them, right? And so, that would be something special if they did that, though.
I love it. I want to ask you this. This has really nothing to do with pro football, but it's a trend that's happened in college football with punters over the last 7, 8, 10 years. You know, when you probably started punting, you had the one personal protector, 9 guys on the line of scrimmage. Why now do they have the 3 guys back in front of the punter? I've asked college coaches this, and I really never got a good answer, but now they've got 3 personal protectors. I just don't understand it. Why are we doing this?
Well, I think the big thing is in college, the rules are different. You know, the punter can catch it. He can roll out and hit more of that Aussie, get on the ground. You know, hopefully you might hit somebody that's running down to cover. Because in college, once the ball snapped, everybody can go downfield. In the NFL, the only guys when the ball snapped that can go downfield are your 2 gunners on the outside. Everybody else has to stay in until the ball's kicked, right? And so the rules are different. And in college, to really take advantage of those rules, it makes sense. You know, you get an Australian punter, you get a kid that can roll out, take up time. You know, it might take him 2, 3.5 seconds to get the ball off. Where in the NFL, if it's not under 2 seconds, there's a chance you're going to get killed, right? So, so I just think it works better in college. And so when you put 3 bigger guys back there, I mean, really, you're protecting your quarterback back there, right? And so a lot of teams don't want to rush. They don't want to take that chance. Whereas in the NFL, if Stonehouse were to catch it and start rolling out, he's not protected anymore. Somebody can come in and just do whatever they want, right? And so the Colts tried it a couple times with McAfee, and he he got a roughing on one of them that they didn't call because he's not protected. And then there was another one that got tipped. And so at that point, it was like, yep, we're not doing that. So the rules really don't allow kind of that college format.
Well, I always want an explanation, and this was perfect to talk to you about that, because I've seen teams, they'll send seven guys up the middle, and then I've seen it where one of the protectors up front's off balance, and they shove him back into the punter. But, all right, now I see the rhyme and reason for it, because that whole get the ball bounced for 15, 20, 25 yards makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, and you're not in the NFL, if you're – a lot of it's more about just one-on-one matchups, like yesterday, right? You're going on an undrafted rookie on the outside. He has no help. You get him on an up and under, boom, block punt, right? NFL is really about how can you create a mismatch to get to the punter just because of the rules. Everybody can't leave. That's just the way it is. And so, yeah, when you got somebody coming through and they're bull rushing, they could take that, the PP, they could push him and push him right back into the punter, and that's totally legal. And so you'll find some teams, you know, they'll do that as well. They'll put a D lineman, somebody bigger. I mean, I remember we used to do that with Jarrell, Casey, even sometimes with Big Jeff. You know, you get the big guys in there to rush. Really, all you're doing is trying to create a bull rush where they're just going at it, and can we push somebody into that punter to make them feel uncomfortable?
Brett Kern is with us. You know Ryan Tannehill well, and watching that game yesterday, I mean, it didn't look like the Ryan Tannehill we've seen since he's been with the Titans. He had the three interceptions. Some of them were bad, were not very good. So what is the bounce back? What was kind of your thoughts on what you saw from him yesterday? Obviously the offensive line factoring into that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously wasn't Ryan's best day. It's not going to be an issue. I think, with Derek going after it early in his first, four or five carries, kind of set up that play action, right? And, Ryan and play action worked very well. And there were a couple of play actions that he had, gets him out of the pocket in a protected way, and he can hit open guys. He's known to do that, and he's proven that he can do that. And so, when Derek kind of went away, Ryan was staying in the pocket, right? And really the biggest thing I noticed yesterday was when Ryan was in the pocket, it felt very collapsed, very condensed. And there were some throws that he was throwing, like I think that underthrow that he threw that was picked that was supposed to go to DeAndre, it just didn't look like he could really set and go through with the throw, right? Whereas you looked at Derek yesterday, I felt like when we brought the rush and they were stunning and all that kind of stuff, he was really able to escape and get out of the pocket, give himself more time. And then, boom, he hits Olave, right? He hits Michael Thomas, and you're thinking, golly, why couldn't Ryan do that? Well, I think he tried a couple times. He tried to step up in the pocket. It collapsed. There was a couple where I thought he was going to be able to get out, and he got chased down. And so I don't really feel like he ever got comfortable back there, and he just didn't look comfortable. And so protection was, obviously an issue. But, as far as the run game, with the O-line, that was working. They outrushed them, 104 to 69 yards, which, is one of the keys when we were in the meetings, Vrabel would talk about the big three, right? And it was, do you outrush your opponent? Is your QBR better? And what's the turnover, right? Unfortunately, the Titans, lost two out of three, which is going to equate to a loss. But, the games that they're rolling, the games that Tannehill's rolling, they'll win three out of the three, and it's a Titans victory, right? But when you start losing two out of the three or even three out of three, it's really, really hard to overcome and get those W's, especially, opening week in the Superdome. That's a tough place to play.
All right, Brett, one more, and I know you are retired, but any thought in the back of your mind, if somebody calls me,
No, I tell you what, yesterday, watching the game, with my family, Stonehouse hit that first punt, and it was just like, that's what I'm talking about. He just smoked it 55, 56 yards right on the sideline. And I was like, that's a good punt, right? And I remember thinking, my first thought was, yeah, I used to be able to do that, right? It wasn't a thought of, man, I could still go out there and do that. It was just, man, I used to be able to do that. And I think, really I poured myself out for 15 years kind of making that kind of punt kind of my calling card, right? And so when you've given all you got, given all you had for 15 years, you leave everything out there and really just kind of sitting back at home yesterday, just thankful for those 15 years and the ability of being able to play in the NFL and enjoy the times. But I had a couple calls in March, and I was just it was just time. So my family's you know, my oldest is 14 now, got 11-year-old, 7-year-old, and it's just time to go coach second grade girls basketball and soccer. Nice. and all that kind of fun stuff. So,
and he's got some tee times, you know, he's got to keep up with for sure, I'm sure.
that's true. Yeah, there's the school that the kids go to, they have their little charity golf tournament here in a little bit. So,
nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Beautiful day for it.
Very nice. Brett, thanks as always for the time, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the show. Appreciate his perspective. We'll continue to take yours, 615-737-1025. Titans lose 16-15 in New Orleans yesterday. 102.5, 106.3 the game.